the Augusta National, you know, model. So the Augusta National Golf Course is this, you know, beautiful course just surrounded by azaleas, and but they're highly managed. It's a highly managed landscape, and for some reason that's the model. Whereas if you go back to Scotland, where golfing came from, they golf on natural landscapes. You know, they don't put in flowers and things. I mean, you a rough is a rough kind of thing. And so it's sort of tweaking that. If golf courses were modified to be a little bit more favorable for amphibians, that these could be good places, and maybe, you know, sort of sanctuaries in the middle of urban settings, because in some urban areas golf courses are the only green space. But one of the things I think we've found is that already is that it really looks like there's sort of a new generation of people involved in the golf industry and superintendents and managers, and these are people that are, you know, they're environmentally savvy. They know that these are huge issues for the industry overall, and so I think many of them have sort of the animals and the habitat's best interest at heart. But what's often lacking is the science-based recommendations or the science-based management. And so that's really my big role in my research program, is to study the basic ecology and behavior of amphibians to come up with biologically based management recommendations, so we can improve how we do things. We can improve how we use resources, how we use land, how we make golf courses. And so it's just a matter of educating people as to what could be done, and then the benefits, potential benefits of those things. So a lot of things, again, we already know. There's a lot of science out there. And it's just a matter of getting people to think about these things a little bit differently, sort of trying to remove some of the historical momentum of what was done in the past to change that. And we came up with a whole list of things that, you know, based on current knowledge of things that we could do, you know, certainly minimizing chemical contamination of any of the aquatic habitats, very specifically putting buffers around the ponds or streams to prevent chemical runoff, having no spray areas near aquatic habitats or sensitive habitats, leaving more connected natural habitats. In other words, instead of having little patches of forest, it's really better to have sort of a ribbon of forest sort of go through, so that it connects larger patches of forest, so have more connectivity of the natural habitat. Just leave as much of the natural habitat as possible. Instead of what a lot of golf courses traditionally have done is gone in and basically bulldozed the natural landscape and then created a golf landscape. Mm-hmm. And the new paradigm, and after talking to a couple people, the new paradigm is to go in and leave natural features there. Those natural features then become the natural hazards of the golf course. And a good example is one of my former students works on the coast of South Carolina. He's got his own environmental consulting company, and he consults with developers and people building golf courses. And for many years, he watched developers go into an area for a golf course, and they would have a beautiful natural wetland that are very valuable on the coast of South Carolina. They would want to drain it and fill it in, and then 100 feet over, they would want to dig a pond,
create a new one,
as a water trap or a water hazard. So he said, "Well, don't do that. Just take your road and make your road go like this around the natural wetland. Leave a little buffer. move your fairway over just a little bit and use this for your water hazard.